ومن كانت فيه ومن كان فيه خصلة واحدة منهن كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي والحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders and brothers, in one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there are four traits which if they are found in any person, then he is considered as a pure hypocrite. And if one of those qualities are found in him, then one quality of nifaq and hypocrisy is found in him. If you have to look at these four qualities that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, from the four qualities, three qualities pertain to honesty and trustworthiness. That person who has lack of honesty and trustworthiness, this is a sign of nifaq and a sign of hypocrisy. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that close to Qiyamah, the quality of honesty and trustworthiness will become such a rare commodity that it will be said in such and such tribe or in such and such place there is an honest person. So this is something which as believers it is of utmost importance for us to make an effort to bring this quality of honesty in our lives. Honesty in our speech, honesty in our actions, honesty in our dealings, in our transactions. Inshallah, today we will quote an incident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. During the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a munafiq, a hypocrite by the name of Ta'ma ibn Ubayriq. So once he went to the home of Qatadat ibn Nu'man radiyallahu anhu, a sahabi, and he went to purchase something, and while in the home he stole a piece of armor or a shield from Qatada ibn Nu'man radiyallahu anhu and he hid it inside a bag of flour. And in this manner he left the home without the inhabitants of the home knowing about this. So obviously after some time they were looking for it and they could not find it, and they after some thought realized that the last person to visit the home was this person, Ta'ma ibn Ubayriq. So they approached him and they asked him that, do you know of this? Did you take it? So he blankly refused that, I didn't steal it, I didn't take it, and I have no knowledge regarding this. In the meanwhile, after he had taken this, he went to a Jewish person by the name of Zayd ibn Samin, and he entrusted him that bag of flour, wherein hidden inside was that piece of armor. So what he failed to realize was that that bag had a hole and it left a trace from the place he left to the home of Zayd ibn Samin, the Jewish person who was entrusted. So they followed the trace of flour and they reached the home of Zayd ibn Samin. So they asked him that, where did you get this from? So he told them that it was Ta'ma who had given it to me as a trust and I am keeping it on his behalf. When Ta'ma realized what was happening, in the meanwhile he went to his tribe, the Banu Dhafar tribe, a group of the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, and he asked them to stand guarantee on his behalf and to give testimony on his behalf that he is innocent in this matter and he is not the one who was involved in the crime of theft. And rather it was this Jewish person, Zayd ibn Samin, who had stolen this piece of armor from the home of Qatada ibn Nu'man radiyallahu anhu. So this tribe, the Banu Zafar, in innocence, they go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they give testimony on his behalf that Ta'ma ibn Ubayriq is innocent, he is not involved in this crime of stealing, but rather Zayd ibn Samin is the one who is responsible for stealing this piece of armor from Qatada ibn Nu'man radiyallahu anhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses of Quran to declare the innocence of a Jewish person. This is the justice of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses of Quran in order to declare the innocence of this Jewish person, Zayd ibn Samin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ بِالْحَقِّ لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. We have revealed to you the Quran with the truth, so that you may decide between people with justice, according to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed you, according to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the knowledge of. So when these verses of Quran were revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that the person who was the responsible one for stealing was Ta'ma ibn Ubayriq. So instead of him owning up, he fled to Makkah Mukarramah, and while he was there, he openly declared himself as a disbeliever. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on the verge of accepting the testimony of the Banu Dhafar and declaring this Jewish person as the one who was involved. And this was something apparent, because at that time the Jews were known for their deceit and their lies and their deception. So it was something normal that it was this person, it could have been this person, it was not something out of the ordinary that this person was the responsible one. Together with that, on behalf of this person who was outwardly a believer, Ta'ma, an entire tribe of the Muslims, the Banu Dhafar, are giving testimony, declaring his innocence. So the apparent would be that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would obviously accept his testimony and the testimony of these sincere believers, the Banu Dhafar, against this person who was actually the innocent one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to declare the truth and the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further advises Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَكُلْ لِلْخَائِنِينَ خَصِيمًا. Do not become a disputant on behalf of the deceitful ones. Do not defend those who are deceitful. From this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us an important principle, that when a person is involved in some evil or something wrong, whether it be deception, whether it be stealing, whether it be some whatever wrong it may be, it is impermissible to defend such a person, because that person is involved in wrong. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on, wastaghfirillah, and seek the forgiveness of Allah. This was advice to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as explained, was on the verge of accepting the testimony of the Banu Dhafar and declaring Zayd ibn Samin as the one responsible for the theft. So seek the forgiveness of Allah for accepting the testimony or inclining towards the testimony of this group. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. وَلَا تُجَادِلْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes, do not defend and do not fight on behalf of those who deceive themselves. Those who are involved in the crime of deception, they are deceitful towards the people in their words, in their actions, in their behavior. Then do not fight and dispute on their behalf. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love that person, every such person who is a great deceiver and who is engrossed in sins. So a person who is involved in deception, deceiving people, as far as his speech, speaking lies, behaving in a deceptive manner, or involved in deceptive transactions, in whatever form he's involved in, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the person who is engrossed in all types of sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes the Banu Dhafar. يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. That they try to hide and conceal themselves from the people, but they cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that they are ashamed regarding what people will say, that a person from our tribe was involved in this crime of stealing. It will become a disgrace for us and our tribe and our family. But yet it was more befitting for them to be ashamed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear accountability before Him, as a person will never be able to escape. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all encompassing of that which they are doing. Nothing can escape the knowledge of Allah. No action, no matter how small, no matter how secretive it may be, it cannot be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes them and gives them a warning. هَا أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ جَادَلْتُمْ عَنْهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Are you those who have disputed on their behalf in this worldly life? That in this worldly life you were prepared to fight and dispute on their behalf. The Banu Zafar were prepared to fight on behalf of Tama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then warns them and cautions them. فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهَ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then who will fight on their behalf in the court of Allah on the day of Qiyamah? On their behalf, who will fight and defend them when you will have to stand before Allah? Will you be prepared? If you are prepared to fight for them in this world, are you then prepared to defend them in the court of Allah on the day of Qiyamah? أَمَّنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. Or are they ready to be a representative and a guardian over them? Are they prepared to stand guardian and to stand guarantee for their actions on the day of Qiyamah? Then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the Banu Zafar to turn in repentance. So from here, from this verse, we understand that sometimes a person gets caught up because of a person being from one's family, from one's tribe, or from one's group of friends or associates. He tends to go in the defensive and protect the person, irrespective of knowing what is the reality, whether the reality is that the person is on the right or is in the wrong. He is automatically ready to stand and defend him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions us in this verse that if you are prepared to defend and stand guarantee for them in this world, then are you prepared to stand guarantee and defend them in the court of Allah on the day of Qiyamah? So one should be very cautious that before you stand guarantee for someone, before you defend someone, first verify and see whether the person is really on the right or is at fault. If he is right, then by all means you are allowed to defend the person. But if the person is involved in wrong, then it will never be permissible to defend such a person. Then further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now encourages the Banu Zafar to seek repentance for their action. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا. Whomsoever commits any wrong by means of which he causes harm to someone else. Like in this situation, one is the Banu Zafar committed a wrong, but this wrong wasn't confined to themselves, but it was something that led to difficulty upon another individual. One is they gave false testimony, but over and above that, they declared an innocent person to be a criminal. So this is what is being referred to. أَوْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا. Or أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ. Or the person oppresses himself. He commits a sin which is confined to himself, like in the case of Tama, who had committed the act of stealing. ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. And thereafter, he seeks the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. He will find Allah to be most forgiving, most merciful. Subhanallah, despite them being involved in this wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then declares His doors of forgiveness to be open. And this is not something confined to them, but any time a person commits any sin and he sincerely turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, then the doors of forgiveness are open. Allah will forgive that person and Allah will bestow His mercy upon him on condition that he turns sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama explain that one is a person committed a sin, which is confined to himself, then one is, he has to repent, seek forgiveness, make a resolve not to return to that action, and then Allah will grant him forgiveness. And obviously at the same time, refrain from committing that action further. When he fulfills these three conditions, then he will gain forgiveness. But when it comes to an action which is harming someone else, it is affecting someone else, a person has usurped someone else's right over and above these three conditions, the ulama explained that a person has to seek forgiveness from the one who he wronged and fulfill that right which is outstanding, then only Allah will grant him forgiveness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further goes on, وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ إِثْمًا, whomsoever commits any sin, فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ, then his committing that sin is only to his own detriment. It will only be of harm to himself by him committing any sin, any evil. It's only going to destroy his akhirat and his own life. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most knowledgeable, and Allah is most wise. Allah is full aware of the actions of man, and Allah has full wisdom in the manner of his retribution. وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ خَطِيئَةً أَوْ إِثْمًا ثُمَّ يَرْمِي بِهِ بَرِيئًا, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the gravity and the severity of this crime that they have committed. Whomsoever commits any sin or any evil, whether it be a major sin or minor sin, and then he accuses an innocent individual. So one is they give false testimony, and then after giving false testimony, they then accuse this innocent person of the crime of theft. فَقَدْ اِحْتَمَلَ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا, then such an individual has taken upon himself slander and a clear sin. So this is a very severe crime, a very grave sin. One is, we learn from the hadith that the crime and the sin of ghibat is very severe. Even greater than the sin of ghibat is the sin of buhtan, which is slander and accusing an innocent person. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explains his favor upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ, had it not been for the favor of Allah over you, over Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah bestowing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with nubuwa, وَرَحْمَتُهُ, and his mercy of protecting and safeguarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and making him ma'soom, لَهَمَّ الطَّائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُضِلُّوكَ, then a group from amongst them would have intended to mislead you. They would have misled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it was for the, had it not been for the safety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah bestowed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with nubuwa, and Allah had protected him, Allah then informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and revealed these ayat and protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from falsely accusing the innocent one. وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ, they will only mislead themselves. وَمَا يَضُرُّونَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, and they cannot harm you in the least. So them trying to mislead Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the outcome of their misleading will only be to their own detriment, and they will not be able to harm Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the least, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has safeguarded and protected him. And then further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that Allah has bestowed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Quran and the wisdom, the hadith, and by means of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguarded Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to safeguard and protect ourselves from all forms of deception, be it in our speech, in our actions, or in our dealings, and grant us true honesty. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.